can't sit wherever you want to. There might be someone there. But do your best, what you got to work with. A good crew of kids, I like that, don't you? This is the fifth Sunday, and every fifth Sunday, we have a meal together after the service, and this will be the same. So you're invited to stay and fellowship and be a part of that meal. Hope that you're able to do that. This card is to the Osage Church family. Words cannot express how thankful we all are for the outpouring of love, support, and prayers that we've received, not just during our time of loss, but in all things. We're so grateful for the wonderful meal that was provided for the family, for the funeral support that we received was unexpected but so appreciated. The message comforted us all, and we are so thankful to all of you. We love and appreciate you all more than you will ever know. With much love, the Jaton family. And we do love that family and encourage them in the things of the Lord and to go on. Death is a hard thing. It's part of life, but it's a hard part of life. It comes to the very young and the very old and all in between. But Job said, if a man die, shall he live again? Amen. And in answer to that question, yes. There is a place that the Bible says where the soul of man never dies. And we have to make preparation to be in that place. Take your Bibles and turn with me to Matthew, the 13th chapter. Matthew, the 13th chapter. And we're going to be looking at a very familiar passage of Scripture today. Perhaps you've read this for years. You've known about it for years. And we're going to dissect this some today and look at the meaning of it and how it applies to us individually. I was always taught that whenever you study the Bible, you look at what it meant during the time that it was written to perhaps the people that it was written to. If you're talking about the letters of Paul to the churches, you think about the setting of those churches and what they were going through and what was happening during their time. So you look at the that time period. You look at what God is saying to the church overall. And you and I are that part of the church that is represented here at Osage. I believe that the church is made up of all born-again believers. Everyone that is born again will go to heaven. That's all part of the church. And I believe that that's all part of the bride of Christ. I think that all the church, whoever they are, if they know Christ as their Savior, are part of that bride. Now, I have people who disagree with me on that, but that's okay. I've known a lot of people be wrong about a lot of stuff. But that's what I believe. So as we look at passages of Scripture, I don't know how many S's I put on that, but as we look at this passage today, what did it mean then? What does it mean to the church overall? But then we have to get this down to a personal level. What does it mean to me personally? How's God speaking to me personally right now? So as we dive into this, and we're going to, and we'll stand here in a little bit and read the Scripture. But Ron and I was talking that spring's coming. Can you believe that? It's coming. It's going to, unless the world comes to an end, Jesus comes, it's coming. Rich, you're a gardener, right? I mean, this guy can grow some stuff. But I've got a hunch that he doesn't just cast the seed out there and expect something of it. There is something that a farmer does or a gardener does that he prepares the ground on purpose. Now, can you remember? Boy, I'm having trouble. Can you remember that through this message? That the ground is prepared on purpose. We expect something out of it. I mean, can you imagine just throwing the seed out there and saying, well, we planted a garden. Well, it looks to me like the Johnson grass and the Bermuda grass have taken it over. Well, we put the seed out there and it just didn't do anything. Well, you know why? Because you did not prepare the ground on purpose. And why is it we come to church on Sunday morning and expect to get something out of Sunday school and the message, but we haven't prepared the ground on purpose? We haven't prepared ourselves for what God wants to say to our heart. Now, I don't know about you, but man, I can get distracted so easily. Have you noticed that about me? Some of you, I've pastored a long time. I can really get distracted easy. I can go to someone's house. Now, I know you don't believe this, but I watch very little TV. But I can go to someone's house and they can have the TV going, and I cannot keep my eye off of it. I'm just looking at seeing what's going on the television. I get distracted so easy. Well, I want you to know that in this thing of the Word of God, the devil wants you to be distracted to where that seed does not grow in your life. So what we're going to be talking about today is what people's hearts are like, what the ground is like. And that's what he's saying, what is our heart like? So how are we going to change that? Well, we're going to prepare it on purpose. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge Him, and He will direct your path. So how do you do that? By being constantly distracted? No. But by setting your focus on Him. What would He have in your life? So what does this seed mean to us? Now, there's one other part of this message that I don't want us to miss today. Have you ever been in a service and really the Spirit of God was moving? The preacher was knocking it out of the court. That's the reason that I advise people to come every Sunday. If you'll come every Sunday, one of these days, I'll hit on a good one. But the Spirit of God is moving, and you're listening to the Word, and it may not be what the pastor has said or what the speaker has said, but you're looking at the Word, and the pastor is dissecting that passage and bringing it to life for you. And the Spirit of God is speaking. You see, the Spirit is one that teaches us. So the Spirit of God is teaching us. And you think, I'm going to do that. I'm going to apply this passage to my life. And you no longer, and I no longer, you understand, get away from that until I don't even remember what it was he said. Has that ever happened to you? What was it that I was going to apply to my life? What was it? What was it about? What stirred me so much about that passage? I don't even remember what it was. Well, this is what this passage is about. It says that some of that seed fell in a place, are you hearing me today? That the fowls of the air came and ate the seed, and it never did develop. And then later on, Jesus defined the fowls of the air as Satan came and he stole that seed away, and it never did develop. You and I just never did do what we planned to do. We never did. He stole that away, and we never did what he called us to do. So look at that passage. Our plans get diverted very easily. We can get distracted very easily. Matthew 13, let's stand together as we give reverence to the reading of God's precious holy word. And let's begin with verse 1. I realize that there is not one scripture that's more important than another scripture. All of God's word is inspired. But this, to me, is the very hinge of the gospel here. This is right where we need to be. And this is the word that you and I need to hear. The same day went Jesus out of the house, and he sat by the seaside. And great multitudes were gathered together unto him, so that he went unto a ship, and he sat, and the whole multitude stood on the shore. And he spake many things unto them in parables. The word parable here literally just means illustrations. He's just giving them illustration. Illustration after illustration. And behold, he said, Jesus said, a sower went forth to sow. Perhaps he was looking out across a field, and there was someone had a bag of grain, of seed, hung over their shoulder, and they were broadcasting that seed over a field. We don't know, but perhaps he used that as an illustration. And when he sowed, some seed fell by the wayside. And here the fowls are. Here's the devil coming. The fowls came and devoured them up. Some fell upon stony places where they had not much earth, and soon forthwith they sprung up because they had no deepness of earth. Now I think that shallow hearts come from poor preparation. I think that we don't have to be shallow. Amen. We say, well, I just don't understand it. I don't read that because I can't understand it. Well, we don't have to be that way. And when the sun was up, they were scorched, and because they had no root, they withered away. And then some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprung up. What happened to them? It choked them. Now we're going to learn what those thorns represent. We know what the fowls represent. We're going to learn what those thorns represent. But others fell into good ground that had been prepared on purpose. It had been plowed and turned up. Fertilizer had been put on it. They'd gotten it ready. They fell on good ground and brought forth fruit. Some 100, some 60-fold, some 30-fold. Our Father, we come before your throne of grace and mercy right now, and Lord, I need this so desperately in my own life. I'm so easily distracted, and I fall in a place that I'm not growing. Your word is not penetrating the way that it needs to. I'm not preparing my ground on purpose, and so much of the time, God, I pray you change our hearts today, that there not be any of us that would leave this place as we came, but we take a stand for the word, for our families, for our own life. Be determined to grow in you. Be different people because of your word in our life. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Now, you know, I could explain this all day long, but let's let Jesus explain it, okay? Just follow down. Go on down in your Bible to verse 18 in that same chapter. And Jesus begins to explain the parable. And this is what he says. Hear ye therefore the parable of the sower. When anyone heareth the word of the kingdom and understandeth it not, then cometh the wicked one and catcheth away that which was sown in his heart. This is he which receiveth seed by the wayside. And the birds came and got it. But he that receiveth the seed unto stony places, the same as he that heareth the word, and anon with joy receives it. This is a popcorn Christian. This is a firecracker Christian. He pops and then that's it. They get all excited, man, get in there and get after it. And then you don't see them for 3 months or 6 weeks. That's popcorn. That doesn't amount. That's cotton candy. You know, you take cotton candy and you wad it up and you just keep wadding it up and pushing it together, and pretty soon you've got a ball about that big around. And that's what these folks represented are here. They jump up and they're ready to charge hell with a water pistol, but they don't amount to a hill of beans when it comes to hitting the road and staying with the stuff. I just put it out there. You just have to take it anyway. If the shoe fits, wear that thing. But he that receiveth the seed into stony places, the same as he that heareth the word and anon with joy receives it, yet hath he not root in himself, but endureth for a while. He endures for a little while. But now look what happens. For when tribulation or persecution ariseth because of the word, by and by he is what? What's that next word? Anybody know? That's a hard word. I can hardly pronounce it. Offended. He's offended. Boy, I can get on a stump on that in a little while. People that get offended. Okay, let's go on. He also that receiveth seed among the thorns is he that heareth the word and the cares of this world. And then here is another word. I love this. The deceitfulness. Do you realize? Now, I've been aimed to speak to Pam about this. And I don't know what is happening about the money that the church is supposed to be paying me. Now, she's not keeping it. She writes it out in a check and hands it to me, and it evaporizes. It turns to vapor. It's gone. I don't even know where last week's money went. Amen. Did you know that riches are deceitful?
Amen.
Did you know that making money is deceitful? The deceitfulness of riches. Now, this is what I think that he's talking about here. You think, and I think, money is the answer to everything. If I just had a little more money, if they just pay me a little more, if I could get an advance in the job where I work, and I could get on another pay level, that would take care of it. I'll tell you what would help me if they hadn't put a Walmart in Harrison. What are you laughing about? That you think the same thing. No. I'm telling you that it is deceitful.
Yes.
That it doesn't matter. If you make more money, you're going to spend more money.
Yes.
What you and I need to learn is to give and it shall be given unto us, pressed down, shaken together, and running over shall men give into our bosom.
Amen.
You don't need another job. You don't need a higher paying job. You need Jesus.
Amen.
And I need Jesus. I need to put my trust and my faith in Him. I need to not just give Him 10%. I need to give Him 100% of all that I am and all that I make. It's deceitful. And, I mean, it's not the only thing that is deceitful. I mean, there's lots of things that are deceitful. The deceitfulness of riches. Choke the word, and he becometh unfruitful. Because, you see, the purpose is fruit. And the purpose in the Christian life is fruit. Let's say that we could pack this thing out, this auditorium, and we had to put chairs down the aisles. We had to move people to the choir loft. We packed it out. Is that fruit? It's not fruit. That's just a stalk. That's just a stalk. Rich, that's just the tomato vine, isn't it? And you go looking. There's not anything there. Beautiful vine. Big old luscious vine, green. And then you get to looking for the fruit. And it's not there. The fruit is where the rubber meets the road. The fruit is where we're carrying out the commands of Jesus. It is when we are doing what the Word of God says to do. I'm telling you, folks, I'm glad you came. But you hadn't done a thing by coming to church. And I haven't done a thing by coming to church. And you said, well, preacher, I thought you wanted us to come. I do want you to come. And I want to come myself. You know, I didn't even struggle this morning deciding whether I was going to come or not. I knew I was going to come. But I haven't, until the fruit is produced, I haven't done anything yet. Until it's making a difference in my life. I'm telling you, until it makes a difference in the way that I walk and talk and act and give to other people and love on other people and win other people, tell other people about Jesus, there is no fruit there. I just come to get charged up. I mean, this is Miracle-Gro here. It's not fruit. But he that receiveth seed into good ground. Now what did I say the good ground was? You remember? That is prepared on purpose. That is prepared on purpose. I'm ready to hear what God is saying to me. Reckon he'll ever get done. What are we going to have for lunch? What are we going to eat lunch at today? Or am I ready? Have I prepared it on purpose? I am ready to hear what God has to say. The wayside soul, verse 4 and verse 19. It's the footpath. The birds of the air represent Satan. In the parable of the mustard seed, that represents the church. So you have the devil. and its demons lodging in the church. So you think the devil's not here today? He's here today. He's here. He was with you. Well, Lyle said it wasn't him. It was one of his imps. He said, you're not important enough for the devil. He sent one of his imps to deal with you. But he was there before church. He'll be there after church. He's there in every fuss that you have with your wife. He's there in every thought that you have that is wrong. He is gouging that on. He's turning on the video for you to replay those things that you like to replay and draw them back up so that you can rehearse what has happened in the past and blame somebody else for what is going on in your life. And when you get down to the bottom line, the one that is the problem is the one that you looked in the mirror at this morning. And I looked in the mirror at this morning. It's not someone else, it's me. The rocky soil is that in verse 5, and then it is Jesus explains it in verse 20. This is a rocky ledge underneath a little bit of soil. No root because of the shallowness of the soil. He shows progress for a while. Here the King James says, endures for a while. He endures for a while. He springs up for a while. But then something happens. Tribulation or persecution arises. You know what I have discovered about 47, soon be 48 years of marriage? It's hard work. I don't know of any marriage that's easy. It's all hard. Women are hard to understand, guys. Guy was digging around in the sand and he come up with a old time bottle. And it looked like one of those that a genie might be in. He rubbed it. Out come this genie. He said, man, it's your day. He said, I'm going to give you one wish. Said, so think it over. He thought and he thought and he said, he said, I've always wanted to understand women. The genie said, boy, he said, that's pretty hard. He said, you got a second one? He said, well, I've always wanted to go to Hawaii, but he said, I'm afraid to fly. He said, could you build me a road from here to Hawaii and let me drive? He said, so your first choice is to understand women. The second choice is to, he said, I've got to grant one of those. He said, you want that in a 4-lane or a 2-lane? you and I won't be able to do that. Well, I want you to know that the devil is constantly there to mess things up. He is constantly there to mess things up. When tribulation and persecution ariseth because of the word, by and by, he is offended. When hard times come to everybody, to every family. And it doesn't matter if this family's got a lot of money. And you think, well, they're making a lot of money. They don't have a hardship. Yes, they do. They might not have any trouble paying their electric bill, but they've got the same trouble that you and I have. Amen. It is trouble for everyone. This is why that you and I have to set our focus on Jesus and set our goal to follow Him. and not allow the things of this world to distract us away from that. You've heard this, and I have. These guys that get to thinking that the grass is greener on the other side, and then they get over there and discover it's got to be mowed too. It's not what's on the other side of the fence, folks. It is what the Lord has planned for you. Look with me at John's Gospel, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. I picked easy things to find today. John 6, and I didn't pick it for you, by the way. I picked it for me. Look at verse 66. Tommy Keelan said, up there in them big numbers. Now look at what happens here. From that time, many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. It happens. People turn their back on Jesus. And they walk off. They flare up like firecrackers and popcorn, and they get after it for a little while. And then they walk off. Oh, they got somebody to blame. Sometimes it's the preacher. Sometimes somebody, you remember that little word we read a while ago? They are offended. Then said Jesus unto the 12, will you also go away? Now listen closely, because I'm telling you folks, we're going to get down in the well today. Will you also go away? Are you going to leave too? What's keeping you? Why are you here? Why am I here? Will you also go away? What's going to be your decision? Who are you going to blame? Then Simon Peter answered him and said, Lord, boy, this is a great answer. Simon messed up lots of times, but this time he knocked the ball out of the court. To whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. And we believe and are sure that thou art the Christ and the Son of the living God. Some of it fell on thorny grounds back in Matthew 13, verse 22. This heart is unfruitful. Well, why is it unfruitful? Well, here he tells us why it's unfruitful. Because the focus is wrong. The cares of this world, the deceitfulness of riches. Choke the word. Look at Mark 4. Matthew, Mark. Just over a few pages. Mark, the 4th chapter. You can. Mark 4, look down at verse 19. And the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches. Now, we already knew that, didn't we? But I would like for you to see something different. I really don't know how to spell, don't you? But I'd like for you to see something different here that Mark has put to help us grow by. Did you see what he said? And the lust of other things enter in. That kind of puts a different twist on it, doesn't it? And the lust. Do you know what lust is? Well, you'd say, well, that's when a man that's married looks at another woman the way he's not supposed to. Well, that's one kind of lust. But lust is desiring to have something that you cannot scripturally have. Desiring to have something that according to God's word, you cannot have. I saw a little deal the other day that said, ladies, God did not send you somebody else's husband. Doesn't happen. It's desiring to have something that you cannot scripturally have. There's the hard heart here. This is fertile, but it's hard. It needs to be plowed up. You need to run the tiller over it. You need to chunk it up. There's the shallow heart. It's fertile, but it doesn't have any depth. So you need to dig deeper in the well here. You need to move those stones out. You need to get the thorns and the things that's keeping it from producing. You need to keep that out. Do you remember the movie Fireproofing Your Marriage? Do you remember the scene in that movie where the guy took his computer out on the sidewalk and he took a baseball bat and he began to beat it? Do you remember that? I kind of get to wanting to do that to the one we have here every once in a while, and I don't have any trouble with pop-ups. Are there some of those things in your life, in my life, that we need to take a baseball bat to? We need to just get them out. We need to just destroy them. We need to do what he had done. The computer was his problem. The computer is what was keeping him from being the husband that he should be. And so he took a baseball bat to it. And that's what you and I need to do. Then there's the worldly heart. And it's fertile, but it's possessed. And then finally we get down to the understanding heart. It's fertile and it's prepared on purpose. It's good ground, according to verse 23. It brings forth fruit. The Bible says that a Christian is known by his or her fruit. In Matthew 7, verse 16, you know them by their fruit. Let's conclude with John, the 15th chapter. John 15, and look at verse 7. It's talking about fruit. It's talking about producing fruit. Not just a vine, but fruit. If you abide in me, and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit. So shall you be my disciples. As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. If you keep my commandments, you shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you and that your joy might be full. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I've loved you. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. You're my friends, if you do whatsoever I command you. Henceforth I call you not servants, for a servant knoweth not what his Lord doth. But I've called you friends, for all things that I have heard of my Father I have made known unto you. You have not chosen me, but I've chosen you, and ordained you that you should go and bring forth fruit, that your fruit should remain, that whatsoever you shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it you. These things I command you, that you love one another. If the world hates you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. Let's stand together. I do this every Sunday morning that I preach, and I guess I will as long as I preach, because I think that God has called me to give folks an invitation to be saved. I'm glad.